Hey everybody, and welcome to the Pony Developer Sync for August 27th, 2019. My name is Andrew Turley. Can everybody who's here just introduce yourself?
I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Sylvan Clash.
I'm Theo Butler.
I'm Scott Lustig-Fritchie.
And I'm Gord Tischer.
Very impressive. No questions today. Okay.
Gordon definitely has the most powerful of all the microphones.
All right. Congratulations to Gordon. You've won the most powerful microphone award. Okay. So welcome to the sync. For everybody's information, we've got a drop of all the open recently modified issues for the Ponylang org that has been dropped in the Zulip sync stream. So go ahead and check that out if you want to keep score here. And as always, we will dive right in and start with RFCs. Let's see here. So RFC 153. This is the LLVM command line options integrations RFC.
Oh my God! You added links in the thing that goes into the sync thing now. Oh my God! I'm so happy. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Best thing ever.
UX on LinkedIn.
Wait, is that a thing? Yeah, I'm going to go do that. I'm writing a note right now.
Okay. Let's see here.
I need to mute myself so I can tell Google to remind me.
Where did we leave this? Scott, you asked for a little bit more clarification on how Julia handled LLVM args. And Shockwave provided an answer to that. Does this explanation make enough sense to people that we feel like we can evaluate it?
It does to me. I think Scott's the biggest question on that. He was the one who really raised that.
It seems good enough for me, given that I don't know diddly about LLVM specific arguments. But
I apologize. Can someone tell me, I can't seem to figure out, can someone tell me why this is different from the normal LLVM specific command line options? I've been in there for a long, long time.
Or going to open thing now. Which ones you're referring to, Sylvan?
Well, it used to be that, and I apologize because I haven't used this feature in a long time, but it used to be you could do specific LLVM specific command line options with a flag to the Pony compiler where you could pass any LLVM option and it would do it as a pass through option to the LLVM configuration. And
really?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that documented anywhere? I never knew that was in there. I'm not sure that it's documented. I'm not sure that anybody's aware of it.
It's also quite possible that it got pulled out at some point, and that's why it needs to be put back in.
I have never seen it in the entire time that I've been working with the code base in the last 3 or 4 years. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist because I haven't been in every part of it, but I certainly never came across it.
Can someone remind me where the command line parsing lives at this point?
Someone who's not me.
I'm going to guess it's probably in the PonyC options.h.
That sounds like a good guess.
No, but it is in options.c. So that's good. Features. Opt features, CPU features to enable or disables plus and minus over some features and triple. It looks like so then opt features. Well, turns out that's not the best way to search in the universe. So in create target machine.
This is in options?
No, sorry, in codegenhost.cc, create target machine is passed opt features, which is set with the features flag on the command line. Now, what's being done here, it looks like might be a bit different. Because there's also, it passes CPU. So it might be that we need this in addition. Okay. So it's, okay. No, I understand why this is a separate thing now. Sorry about that. That was a big distraction. Essentially, so features in CPU, and in some sense, also triple, are things that you can specify on the command line already that at the same API. But this is different because this is picking up some separate stuff and passing it in a different place. Sorry for the distraction.
It is. Yeah. I mean, the idea when he first brought this up in the Zulip was, that he was trying to debug what turned out to be an actual LLVM bug, right? Yeah. And that it was really problematic not to be able to just turn on LLVM options on and off right. When he was doing the testing. Yeah,
I've got it now. Thank you. This looks good.
Okay. So we have an explanation of that. So last week the question. I guess we had been talking about putting this up for a vote.
Yes, we were going to do it for two options, but then Scott said he didn't really understand what the environment variable one would look like, right? And so it would be now with that answer, we were going to put it back up where it's either the one that's listed in it as option two, or the alternative one that Dipin raised using the environment variable. I suppose the other option we could present, even though I'm firmly against it, is that it is both, right? I hate both as an option, but I think it would be reasonable to present that as an option to people, is that you could do option two. You could do the environment variable, or we could allow for both to work. And does that sound like a reasonable thing to vote on?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
But always command line flag, right? Always command line flag.
So you're saying you don't like the environment variable idea, Dip? Dip Sylvan?
I hate all environment variables, and I'm fundamentally opposed to their existence.
It's so am I, which is why I hit it. But I felt like that my saying that it's one or the other and not presenting the option for both was kind of wrong and overly biasing it towards the fact that all environment variables should die.
Right.
Just so you know, Sylvan, I think that is the exact response that Sean has had like in previous times that this has come up. Like almost verbatim.
That's disturbing, but you know. Yeah. Okay. I suppose we could say both, but certainly always command line, right? Because
yeah. All right, I'm gonna write this up on here with the little icon things.
And oh, sorry. when you put the icons in, or when you mention the icons, put the icons themselves in.
Just so in the message, yes, not just with the word rocket. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I had actually thought of that this time. It was like, I was like, oh, and I should blah, 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 right before I was about to start typing. And it turns out, yes.
The rocket was okay. I think you said, like, put the hooray thing. Whatever you said to put in, I think it, like, it's called something else. And anyway, yeah. Okay, you're good. All right. Cool. Okay, so that is the only RFC that we have, the only recently modified issue in RFCs. So we'll move on to PRs and Pony C. We have 3287, improved performance of muting, unmuting logic.
You should probably skip that one for now while I'm doing this because you need my input on it, probably. Or we could just say, Sean is the domain expert. Assign Sean to it. Sean needs to look at this. Anybody else can review the code right now if they want to. I should definitely look at it.
I will assign you to it.
Another person who'd be really good to look at this is Scott, because we wouldn't have all of the back pressure code bug-free if it wasn't for Scott finding all of my mistakes.
Okay, I'm assigning Sean and Scott because they are the experts here.
Sylvan might have some expertise at this point. I'm not sure. I can't speak for him. And on this one rare instance, I can't speak for him.
All right. Sylvan, feel free to look at it too. Okay, 3284, add runtime memory allocation tracking. Let's see here. So, did some micro benchmarks on a virtual box VM on Windows 10 without CPU isolation. Okay. So, just looking at this. Anything surprising?
Oh my God, I hate you, GitHub. Oh my God, you suck so bad.
What do you mean about GitHub? That's not cool.
Holy shit. So the emojis that are available in the reactions are not, you can't use all of them in line.
Yep.
Who does that? What sort of evil, sick, twisted human being does that?
Emojis in the first place? Yeah, it's a good question. So the core change in 3284.
Which is 3284?
That's the one we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The memory tracking.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, Divin ran the benchmarks. I can't.
This seems quite good in terms of internal memory tracking. But benchmark-wise, this is a enable-disable feature on the compiler, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At which point, I'm very impressed by his benchmark numbers, but also they are, in my opinion, unnecessary, right?
So you might think they're unnecessary, right? I felt that it was a small little thing to do to verify that it was, in fact, only having an impact at compile time, and that there was no impact otherwise. I wanted it as a assurance of this. I looked at the code. I said, I don't see how this has any impact at runtime. I think doing a micro benchmark just to make sure would be a nice assurance on that. Yeah. That's why I asked for it. Right. It wasn't like, oh, I think this is going to have an impact. It was, I don't see how this could possibly have an impact. Let's do a quick thing just to make sure.
Very reasonable.
I was feeling paranoid that day.
That day.
Hey.
Sorry, was that out loud?
Yes. Okay. Don't give away the key characteristic of my personality. By the way, the RFC now has the comment where everybody could go and pick their rocket, heart, or eyes. And also, the only correct answer is rocket. Sylvan, you will want to do rocket.
So it looks like... Yeah, did Dippin get rid of the white space changes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Sean, is there any reason not to merge this?
I have to get over to the thing now. Hold on. Pony Lane.
Oh, I still...
Rocket, because I don't see any rockets.
Okay, memory run time. Nope. No, there's nothing. There's nothing additional, I believe. That.
Oh, okay, what about in option C? There's changes that appear to only be white space changes.
Oh, yep. No, I asked them to do those. So those still need to be done.
Yep. Okay.
Let's see. It's not just, it's option C.
There's probably a few others. That was the one that I caught just scrolling through.
Yeah, there's, was it only option C? I think that's the
I
only
thought
one.
Before there might have been another file. Yeah,
but more. Source.c. Source.c, ID.c, this is used. Can you revert changes to this file? Okay, add single comment. I'm just going through for the files that I find and adding that comment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these white spaces... These are good white space changes. I just don't want them cluttering up the.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a number of them.
Okay. Can we move on to the next issue while you're doing that? Or?
Yep.
Okay. 3282, add ability to specify maximum memory a pony program is allowed to use.
Oh, this is a fun conversation. Sylvan, you get to be part of a fun conversation.
Yay.
Yeah, so just as a quick recap, Dippin added this nice feature that basically makes GC run more as you approach some sort of memory limit. It also does a hard kill when you reach that memory limit. there was some discussion in the last sync about the fact that a number of operating systems and environments will actually let you set a kill limit for a program. And so having that included as part of the pony runtime might be redundant, although one of the counter arguments is that not every environment necessarily allows you to do that.
Yeah, and the idea that our limit works is an interesting and controversial idea.
Well, okay, so one of the suggestions had been to separate this into two things, one of which gives you kind of a point where GC starts to kick in more often, and then have a separate killer that says kill at this point, and then you as the user can adjust these limits.
Right.
Okay. Do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah.
So my thought on this actually is, so Scott put a link into the R Limit Man page.
Mm-hmm.
And, very usefully, he also pointed out some of the categories of R Limit that might have an effect similar to this PR. And I think that's a nice way to phrase it, because deciding exactly which R Limit does what this PR does is an interesting experience and may vary by Unix. And by may vary, I mean does vary by Unix. So that's, to me, if this is a thing that people want, a feature that people want, which I haven't run into needing it, but that doesn't mean anything. I actually think this is an interesting idea. On the other hand, adding this max mem in a useful way is, you know, we're starting to add more atomic operations that encapsulate global state, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So particularly in this case, the mem allocated one. And for me, that's a bit troubling, right? I don't want that.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
And in fact, because the way this thing does with track mem allocated, there's, you know, basically every block that comes in, there's a track mem allocated call, and that's an atomic operation every single time. It's an atomic operation, and actually, it's a branch, and I am anti-branch, much less anti-atomic operation. And okay, it's per block, it's not per individual allocation, but blocks aren't big. So I've just given two completely conflicting points of view, but you know, there you go.
That's good. Can you add them to the comments on the thing?
I sure can try.
Yes, I didn't even think about the atomic operations when I looked at it. I was just like, I just went straight to the, well, I can do this in lots of other ways. Does this even need to be in here?
Right.
I hadn't even got to the point of considering the actual implementation, particularly of where it was.
Okay. All right, adding comments now.
Is this something you would feel more comfortable with as a compiler build time kind of option then?
Yeah.
What value does it have as a compiler build time option? I mean, if you turn it on, it's going to have the performance impact. Are you saying that people, you'd want it as if people want to have the performance hit from this, then they can, it can be compiled in?
Scott? They would need to build a separate runtime that had this enabled and linked to that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Andy just encapsulated my response. Thank you, Andy.
Okay. Sorry, do we need to say anything more about that one for now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have a question to pick Sylvan's brain about branch phobia. If there were a single C global variable that controlled whether or not track mem allocated and other stuff,
yep,
related to this PR, if there were a single global variable that controlled that, and it were, you know, a Boolean, and there were a runtime command line flag that were to turn it on and off, and usually it's off, would the branch prediction be good enough that your concern about adding new branches be okay with you, or would you still object?
In this particular case, that branch probably won't get predicted, because you'll have enough pressure on the branch predictor from code that runs more often that probably this one won't get tracked. It's not likely to be a hot path branch. At the same time, that means this isn't likely to introduce particularly heavy overall program impact, because if it did, it would be a hotly tracked branch, right? You would get the branch predictor. On the other hand, what that means is when you do pull a block in addition to the atomic operation, you'll probably always get the branch evaluation. Depending on program state, that may be more or less expensive than the atomic operation. But the branch predictor is unlikely to help here, but that's because it's not hot. So in some sense, that's okay-ish. Sorry, that's not a great or conclusive answer.
Like almost all things that involve a branch prediction.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone has taken a look at the SN malloc code that we put out earlier this year, but it's a memory allocator, and the work that we did, and when I say we, I mean mostly Matt Parkinson and Dan Line, on removing as many branches as possible and optimizing some very small little bits of C to generate slightly better assembly with your branches, had about a 25% improvement on memory allocator speed overall. So when you do have it on the hot path, those branches are deadly.
Okay, thanks.
That code base is a fun one to explore, by the way. People might want to check it out. It's on GitHub under the Microsoft organization, SN malloc. Some interesting ideas in there.
If you're curious, like to write a memory allocator in C, but in the style of Pony, here's something you could look at.
All right. Moving on to the next episode of the Dippin' Show. 3278, trigger GC for actors when they tell the cycle detector they're blocked.
Did something happen with this one? Dippin' requested my review, it looks like. Right, okay, because he answered my question, the thing, right. Don't trust, wait, what? Okay, so nothing's changed from this. Dippin just answered my thing. Trigger GC for actors when they tell the cycle detector that they're blocked. Yep.
Okay.
I don't know that I believe him on that statement. I wonder what the impact of this would be.
Well, it expands the size of an actor.
Yep, and also there's
I don't see why messages sent to GC is as big as it is. It could be a bit. Here's an example about not caring about a branch. Doesn't matter on Pony Trigger GC.
Yeah, like this doesn't need the number of messages, does it? It just needs if there have been any. That's it. Right?
Yep. I'm not really convinced that this is such a good idea. First of all, just because you're blocked doesn't mean you should GC regardless of anything else. I'm not quite sure. I'm just worried about the cost of tracing the working set of that actor. Also, I'm not quite sure this does what he thinks it does, because this will set heap next GC to zero, but then it will also return false, which means it won't GC until unblock. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah, I missed that. Maybe that was... Yeah.
It's also doing something after sending a block message. It's okay, but not great. That used to be a huge problem at the right time, and now it's not that bad. So, yeah, I think if this were to be a thing, I don't think it should be based on messages since GC for sure. In fact, I don't think we even need a flag for that. I think the approximation should be on either this thing has allocated memory at the last GC, or it has received foreign references and incremented local reference counts for them since the last GC. And it should, if it's going to do this, it should do that GC cycle before it blocks. And then my worry is there's definitely a trade-off between the amount of memory that we think that we are causing to not be collected by the fact that we're blocked versus the cost of tracing the working set. And I think that ought to be its own full heuristic. So it might be that we say, yeah, in a normal operation, it's mahaha is our usage approximation. And when we're going to block, it's this reduced factor over heap usage approximation. But certainly should happen before, sorry, not before, certainly should happen on that turn of actor processing rather than waiting for it to be unblocked before it actually does the GC, because at that point you should go back to normal behavior.
That's true. Can you comment to that effect? And I feel like that he was doing this in response to some case which people have run into before, right? But I can't remember what the case is. And I asked him to detail what the case is that this helps with, because I could see this being, I mean, there's a potential like problem here where if something keeps getting repeatedly blocked, right? The more things that keep getting repeatedly blocked, if we were to go about doing this, then that could have a severe performance issue if this gets triggered often, right? And I think that probably, and when I'm trying to imagine how that would happen, I'm not really coming up with a lot. It seems unlikely, but I don't also remember what the case might be that Dippin was trying to address with this as well. So I feel like that would be a good bit of knowledge to get and look at likelihoods of them.
Right.
Okay.
Or we could do my plan of simply tell people not to write cycles and remove the cycle detector. I'm sure that would go over well. Don't write cycles.
Good plan.
Excellent plan. If you write cycles, your memory will just grow and grow and grow. Deal with it.
Super rough.
I know it's I'm that's a lie. Oh, I have this. Let me. PR still open. Why did I leave this open? I must have wanted something that's in here.
Okay. So. Oh,
that's what it's.
That's it for Pony CPRs. Moving on to issues. 3286 segfault when running lambda with inferred generic type.
Yeah, this is a really horribly written issue, and whoever opened it should be ashamed.
Sorry.
Anyway, people following along at home won't get that. No, it's Andy opened the issue. I'm just giving him a hard time. It's very well written.
I apologize. I was typing. Which issue?
Sorry, this is 32. Oh, no. 3286.
Okay.
It's just a weird. I was actually just going through the functional programming in Scala book for the fun of it, seeing what I could do with Pony, and ended up hitting this thing. Basically, if you, I'm still not 100% sure that I've like narrowed it down to exactly what's causing it, but it looks like if you have kind of a nested lambda, like inside another lambda, inside a function that uses generics or type parameters, then and your lambda relies on those type parameters, and you're relying on inference rather than specifying the type parameters explicitly, then you can get this seg fault. So I tried to come up with kind of a minimal program to do it, and it's still a mess. But it's the best I could do. Oh, and thank you, Sean, for adding the code in line. I probably should have done that. Sorry.
I'm always paranoid, even though I've never seen a Pony Playground link go away. I'm always paranoid that the link is going to stop working.
It's a good idea to have it in here just for context. Anyway. Sorry, what?
This is a very exciting one. I love this code.
That's an interesting statement there.
Glad I can make you happy. Anyway, at some point.
This is great.
All right, I'll consider this my pony duty for the week then. I got Sylvan to laugh at some code, so. Anyway.
Today I learned that Zulip will do syntax highlighting of pony code.
Will it really? Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's pretty awesome.
Look at that. Sorry, Sean, did you send that to me because you wanted me to run that as a test? Or?
No, because I saw it happen in the notifications channel from when I added the comment. And I wanted to see if it actually happened.
Okay. So I don't know if there's a whole lot more to be said on this other than at some point we should look into it.
Bug needs investigation. Yeah. I will label as such. Bug needs investigation. Complexity requires context.
Whole feeling that this has to do with the actual expression depth at which the inference is happening.
Yeah.
Could you add a comment to that effect? Sure. Just to help somebody who might come along?
All right, jumping along, 3283, compiler doesn't see required assignment in try else structure. This was just an update about a question that had come up.
I don't know, and also I don't know for this, for when we open the issue, I don't know if we ever, I mean, this was kind of a bit of a known limitation, but I don't think we ever actually had an issue for, here's a known limitation that some people, you know, if somebody wanted to start trying to address.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you think we need to create a label for that? Or?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit confused.
3283?
Yeah, looking at 3283.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind. So the let thing is a little bit of a red herring.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna clean some of this up here, right? I'm gonna remove some comments on this because, yeah. Okay. And I'm going to edit. I'm going to edit his. Edit his. There we go. I'm removing the let thing. There we go. Okay. That's much cleaner now.
All right.
That's much cleaner.
It can make the playground not respond by adding an equals none on line 24 of the example.
Oh, God.
Wait, so what?
What? On line 24 of the example?
Uh-huh. In
3283, append uh-huh. none.
Don't tell me that. What the?
And then the playground times out.
Oh no, it's gonna. Look, it's opening a TCP connection. It'll time out no matter what.
Oh.
it's actually wrong. Yeah, no. It's opening a TCP connection. It's not allowed. It's gonna time. Yeah, it's gonna time out because the program doesn't end.
No. Shouldn't the compiler come back and say that net is not an allowed package?
No, that's not how it works.
Used to be. Okay.
We have to talk to Paul about that. I think the only person who has any regular contact at this point with Paul is you.
All right.
I've sent him a couple things and haven't heard back from him in a while, so.
He's a little busy. And it's my fault, so. He's busy, so.
Sure, I said a thing, you said the thing in a different way.
Just to be clear for everyone, it's my fault. It's not Paul's fault.
All right. 3281 and 3280 are documentation things. I think they're only showing up in the list because I modified them exactly 7 days ago, and I don't think anything's been done to those. So you can skip those.
Right.
3274 is the zero point.
Did 3285 not make the list, by the way?
3285, that was the...
Did I not do that?
I skipped that. Sorry about that. Yeah, okay.
No, it's like, it was basically, the only comment there was that Nicholas checked, and yeah, this is definitely not a new bug. It goes back a long, long, long way. So that's all. He was just answering.
Okay, this is 3285 compiler assert failure crash with interface default implementations.
I had said, hey, if somebody has a chance to look into this and see if this is new or if it goes back a long way, and he tried it with 0.13.0, the first Docker image. Hey, the problem's there. So good, there we go. That helps a little.
For 3274, the release 0.31.0, Sean still planning on August 30th, September 1st.
Somewhere around there. Yep. Before I go on vacation, that's the plan.
Yay. Okay. All right. 3226 update Dockerfile to use Ubuntu 18.04.
Nothing to talk about there.
Nothing to talk about there. Okay. 3140 compiler crash and Pony C 0.28.0 with LLVM 7 plus for certain projects.
Oh, this is a big one. This is a big one.
Okay,
so this is fun. This is the one where a wonderful person you haven't met who's on Zulip goes by M Shockwave, Sylvan, right? He dug into this fun bug and found out it is actually an LLVM bug.
Fantastic.
There is a bug in LLVM. So the question is, really the question that exists on this now is, how do we want to go about handling this situation, which is something that we said at some point that we were going to have to deal with, but we never had to until now, right? We could say, you know, like if we are moving towards doing using a vendored LLVM, right?
Yeah.
for all of our builds. We're not there yet. But we could be using a, we could have a fork of LLVM that we can apply patches to, right? And we could use that. That does have a bit of a, we need to keep our fork up to date with LLVM, right, issue there in order for people to be able to use newer versions of LLVM. But given that we already have to add additional support, it might not be as problematic. But then if like an LLVM, say it was at LLVM 7 and then LLVM 7.1 came out where it should still work, right? We would have to do something so that other people, if they wanted to, could start updating to using LLVM 7.1, right, for our fork. That's kind of a pain in the ass, but it would allow us to apply patches here. On the other hand, we've only ever found one patch that we ever need to apply in all of this history so far, right? So the other option is, another option is that we could devise some sort of, what's the Rube Goldberg machine in order to apply patches to the vendored LLVM that's there, which would be an interesting thing. Or we could look at this and go, there's a bug right now in this version. We're going to turn off this optimization for this particular version.
So, that is extremely tricky. I think in this particular case, the memcopy optimization pass, I think not having that can be problematic across a lot of stuff. And the other thing to do is to, try and rework the way that we're adding annotations to stuff. That's not a great plan either, because then we're just essentially turning off some optimizations on things that are pretty important, like
interface. I think our two real options are is either we turn this off or we come up with a way to be able to build with it with
the patch.
With patch, yeah. I think those are the only two options. And then it's just a matter of, if we're doing the patch, what are the details around how do we go about doing it that's the least awful?
Yeah. I love that this came up with the PR. That's great.
All right.
This is a real pain.
Does anybody on this call, like, if I asked a Git submodule question, would anybody feel comfortable answering it?
I might be able to.
Okay. So.
You stepped in it, Sylvan.
Yeah.
If we were to, as part of a fix for something like when we have problems like this, right? If we were to switch what the Git submodule, the repo that the Git submodule is pointing to, right? From say, from a one that has no patches and is the regular LLVM, the regular standard LLVM one, where everything, everybody has full access to it, over to one where it's our own fork of it that only exists for as long as we need to have a patched version for folks, right? And then switches back. And at some point, we switch back when it's no longer needed.
Will create havoc?
Will it create havoc? Yes, yeah. that is my ritual question, is will it create havoc?
Yes.
Okay, well then, let's eliminate that as a possibility. Because that, it, if it didn't create havoc, I think that's probably the nicest option.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But it will. But I was like, why do I have a feeling this is going to be bad? Seeing how anything that involves stepping off a tiny little path with Git submodules usually seems to result in bad things for me.
For everyone. No one has ever used a Git submodule and said, ooh, that was a good idea.
There's a reason at this point Rust uses their own fork.
Yeah, and that they really wish they didn't have to. But I mean, part of what Rust does there, and this is we've started to have these conversations about LLVM in the past, and it's something which I think I brought up on somewhere else. It might be in the Zulip or something. Is Rust basically supports a single version of LLVM at a time, right? And it's you're using the one that they have there. And if we were to do this we could do that. But it also means that for OSs like OpenBSD, which have their own system LLVM and make their own tweaks to it, this could have a real impact on some of those. And anybody who's any operating system or distro that's making changes to LLVM, it's pretty much basically something that's off the table for us as a supported platform. As much as I like those other operating systems, I personally don't really care about that compared to the potential wins otherwise, right? If we moved to and just said, hey, it's vendored, we allow you to move around within our specific forks repo, we will update it every now and then, this is what you use, you know? But that also then is a pain in the ass because, great, now we're into the realm of Rust where if somebody wants to build their own pony, they have to compile LLVM first. Trade-offs.
Yeah. Not trade-offs we necessarily can resolve in the next 3 minutes, and I actually have to pop off the call. Yeah.
We can push this.
One more issue, Tony. Yeah,
sorry. Do we want to push this, and we can do this as like one of the first things that we discuss next week?
Yeah.
We can talk more about this? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Last one, 2963, compiler segmentation fault on complex map union types. Let's see here. Theo, you've removed your assignment. Okay. That's the only update there. All right. So that's it for Pony C. Scanning through here real quick. We have an issue open for release 0.1.0 and Pony Up. Number 15 and Pony Up. Don't think there's
much. My apologies, folks. I have to run.
Did I forget to close that?
Y'all soon.
All right. Take care, Sullivan. Good to see you. It's still open.
Oh, sorry. I should close that.
No problem. See that website. Website we've got Last Week in Pony, and that is it. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to talk about on this call before I stop recording? Take that as a no. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming.